Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are our God, that you are over the church, and that you have not just left us alone, but that you have come to help us, and you've given us brothers and sisters as well.
嗯，主啊，我们感谢您。您是神，你在教会之上掌权，你没有把我们孤单的留下，你把所有的弟兄姐妹们都赐给我们。
So we thank you for instituting this wonderful body, the church, and we thank you for its blessings to us and in the world.
嗯，我们感谢您赐给我们这个基督的身体啊，就是教会，是我们在这地上的祝福。
But Lord, tonight we're going to consider the subject of persecution and some of the difficulties in the church in the world. We pray especially that you will help us in this context.
主，今天晚上我们要特别的看在这个世界的教会所受的逼迫以及面对的各种困难。主，也求您帮助我们理解这个话题。
We pray that you will give to David the right words to say.
主啊，祈求您给 David 正确的话来讲。
We pray that you will give us the right actions and the right responses as we have some difficulties in the world with persecution.
主啊，也求您帮助我们，当我们在这世界遇到逼迫、遇到困难的时候，给我们正确的行动，给我们正确的回应。
And we pray, Lord, that as you strengthen the disciples in the Bible to stand against persecution in the book of Acts, so we pray that you will help us to stand against whatever persecution we might be called upon to endure. Help us to survive. Help us to endure as they did.
主啊，我们祈求你，就正像你在《使徒行传》中当年给这些使徒们，当他们受到逼迫的时候，给他们力量，能够为你站立的这样的力量。今天也当我们遇见这样的逼迫的时候，你也使我们能够忍受，也使我们能够存活。
And we pray that you will bless and encourage Eric Peterson as he will speak to us over the next couple of weeks. And we pray, Lord, that the blessing that you give him will be passed on to us. We thank you for this opportunity of being together regularly on a Friday evening.
嗯，主，我们一起求您祝福 Eric， 给他智慧，传讲您的话语，也接着他把您的真理传递给我们，也感谢您能够保守我们这周五的这个学习和一
起。In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ，
我们这样的感恩是奉主耶稣基督的名。
Amen.
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 Amen. David, go ahead.
Okay, it's my privilege to be with you tonight.And we are going to look at the church in the book of Acts and some of the struggles and challenges and persecution that they encountered as they served the Lord.
嗯，那今天呢，我们要看在《使徒行传》里面教会他们所经历的挣扎、他们的挑战和他们的一些逼迫。
So it's my privilege to be with you again tonight, and.This is my last study for now, and I look forward to being with you again. And I've enjoyed seeing you and being able to speak to you in this way.
我今天很高兴能够来这里啊。今天是我这一轮的系列的这个最后一讲了。我希望以后呢还有机会能给大家讲新的内容。很高兴今天能够跟大家在一起。
So I'm going to share my screen because tonight we're going to use a PowerPoint.
今天呢，David 的讲课他要用 PPT， 所以他要给大家分享屏幕。
Now I want to say this: we're going to look at the Book of Acts, and I want to give a little bit of an overview of the Book of Acts, and then we're going to dig into it a little bit more deeply.
那我刚才提到了我们今天要学习使徒行传，那我先要给使徒行传这本书呢做一个大概概要的介绍，然后呢我们再深入看其中的里面的一些部分。
Now in the very beginning of the book of Acts, 28 chapters, we see the birth of the church take place in Acts chapter 2.
使徒行传呢一共有28章，在它最前面的就是在第二章的时候呢讲到了这个教会的诞生。
And at the very beginning of the book of Acts, we see many coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 5,000 on the day of Pentecost, a few thousand later on in the chapters that follow.
在这个使徒行传的这个书的这个前面几章，我们看到有很多的人呢归信主耶稣。在五旬节的时候有3000人，在后面的几章里面提到有一次还有5000人信主。
We see Peter being the leader of the group of apostles and the early church.
我们看到彼得那个时候是使徒和教会的领袖。
The apostle Peter leads an evangelism and he speaks powerfully, to large groups of people in Jerusalem.
那时候彼得呢是带领这个传福音的工作的，他在耶路撒冷啊，在众人面前呢放胆。大胆的这个有能力传讲福音。
In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, there's neither salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
在使徒行传的4章12节里面彼得说在天下人间没有赐下别的名我们可以靠着得救。
And then we read in the verse following, chapter 4, verse 13, we read this.And when the Sadducees, the Pharisees saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
那我们看接下去的13节啊，他们见彼得、约翰的胆量，又看出他们原是没有学问的小民，就稀奇，认明他们是跟过耶稣的。
So we see Peter and the early apostles, serving the Lord in a powerful way.And then when we come to chapter 9, we meet and see the salvation of the apostle Paul.
所以我们在前面几章呢看到这12个使徒们啊他们是用大能的能力啊在服侍主。然后到第9章的时候呢我们就看到了使徒保罗得救的过程。
Of course, Peter is still active in preaching in Jerusalem and other places. The Lord has brought him to other places. But now, for the rest of the book of Acts, we see Paul taking the predominant role.
当然那个时候彼得同时他也还是很活跃的在耶路撒冷以及在这个其他的地方。但是呢从此开始呢就是使徒保罗渐渐就登上了这个教会的主要的这个位置上。
But we see a certain strategy of how the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul and others begin to reach outAnd spread the gospel to the world.
我们看到了这样一个策略，就是主耶稣是怎么借着保罗以及其他的门徒啊，把这个福音传向全世界的。
One of the first things that he does, and we will, as you read through the book of Acts, you'll see this, the Apostle Paul and other disciples seek to reach large cities for the Lord Jesus Christ.
那第一点呢就是看使徒保罗可以看到使徒保罗或者其他的门徒啊他们总是到这个大城市啊去到更多的人群当中。
So we see right at the outset, we see that the Lord Jesus is reaching the city of Jerusalem.
所以一开始呢比如说一开始就是在这个大城市耶路撒冷开始的。
Then we see in chapter 11, the early disciples reaching one of the large cities of the ancient world, Antioch.
然后呢在11章我们就看到这个使徒们呢他们就到了这个当时古亚洲这个一个很大的城市安提阿去了。
Then we find the Apostle Paul going into the great city and preaching in the city of Athens, Greece.
然后我们在后面还看到使徒保罗就到了当时希腊的一个很大的城市雅典去了。
And then he goes into cities such as Corinth.And Philippi, and other major cities, and eventually he goes to Rome, and we find New Testament churches established in all these great, great large cities of the ancient world.
然后我们看到使徒保罗他又去了哥林多，又去了腓立比，最后呢他去了当时最大的城市罗马，所以你看他们的足迹呢是遍布很多的大城市的。
But there was another strategy that the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus used to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ.
那还有呢，主耶稣还有一个策略呢，是主耶稣使用保罗和其他的门徒呢，来这个传播福音的一个策略。
As the apostle is reaching these large cities, he does it in starting many smaller assemblies in these cities and in smaller towns throughout the ancient world.
那就是在这些即使在使徒保罗他们在大城市的时候，他们也是去接触一些很小的聚会，就很小一群小一小群人聚会的地方，或者一些小镇、小城、城乡的地方。
Wherever the Apostle Paul went, it seems that he left behind a small New Testament church.
我们看到使徒保罗所到之处啊，他走的时候呢，最后都会留下一些很小的教会。
We see churches in cities like Corinth and Thessalonica and Antioch and Smyrna and many churches of Asia Minor. And all through the ancient world, we see in Ephesus and Colossae, we see churches formed in all of these cities.
所以我们在哥林多，在帖塞罗尼加，在安提阿，施美拿，以弗所，腓立比等等，我们都看到遍地都建立了教会。
So he established, he went to these large cities, he established many, as many small churches as he possibly could, and used others to also establish small churches. And then he spent time in training leaders to be effective workers, and he sent them into many parts of the world to further the work of God.
所以我们看啊，他的策略包括，首先呢，他到大城市去，然后他在大城市呢，尽可能多的建立一些很小的教会，然后呢，在其中呢，他会训练这教会当中的领袖，然后把他们培养成工人，再把他们差派到其他的地方去继续的拓展神的事工。
So when you read through the book of Acts, you see many of these workers. You see workers like Titus and Timothy and Tychius and many, many other workers. When you come to Acts chapter 20, you read about other workers, Trophimus and Sophonies and Secundus and many workers who labored with the Apostle Paul.
然后在我们在使徒行传里看到有提到很多的工人呢，比如说提摩太、提多、希拉等等，在使徒行传的二十章啊，我们看到这里提到好多人的名字啊，比如说索巴特、亚里达古、西宫都、该由、推基古、特罗菲摩等等。
He used a system of training, and that is this: he would teach them.But he would also let them experience what it was to serve the Lord as well. Teaching plus practice.
所以他用的是这样一套培训的系统啊，就是既教导他们，同时呢又给他们实践的机会，就是教导和实践相结合的这样的方式。
The Apostle Paul threw them right into the work of God. They didn't go to school for a number of years. He taught them by example. He taught them by precept.And he taught them by practice.
所以使徒保罗训练的工人啊，不是说让他们在学校里面去上几年学，而是呢带领他们做他们的榜样，让他们跟着他学。
He had other aspects as far as his strategy. He sought to reach different language groups and different ethnic groups.
那还有他用的一个策略呢，就是他总是尽量去接触不同的说不同的语言的民族，不同的文化的族群里面去。
Paul went to areas where it was Greek speaking.
比如说他去过说希腊话的人群中。
In the very beginning, he went to Jerusalem where it was Hebrew speaking, people.
在使徒行传一开始时候呢，使徒保罗是在这个说希伯来话的人犹太人当中的。
He also sought to go into Rome where they were Latin speaking people.
然后他去了罗马呢，是到了那个说拉丁语的人群当中。
He also went to the northern part of Turkey, the area of Galatia, the area where the Scythians and the barbarians would live, and he went and ministered to those people as well.
然后他也会到了现今土耳其的北部，比如说哥罗西这样的地方，他们是说的别的语言的。
He reached those who were Jews and he reached those who were Gentiles.
所以他既接触犹太人，也接触外邦人。
He was seeking to reach all different kinds of people throughout the world.
所以他努力的去接触全世界不同的族群的人。
And the Church of Jesus Christ continues to do that today, reaching, in a missionary effort, starting from smaller churches, reaching throughout the world.
那今天的基督的教会依然在做这件事情，就是借着传教士的工作去接触到全世界不同的人，从建立小教会开始去接触周围的说各种语言的人。
I want to mention a couple other things and then we'll get into our main subject for tonight.
好，我再讲一两点以后呢，我们就进到今天的主要的内容中。
The Apostle Paul sometimes made use of larger meetings where there might be 100 or more people at one time.
使徒保罗呢，有的时候他会用这个大型的聚会啊，比如说一两百人这样的聚会。
He went to Mars Hill in Athens. He went to, in Jerusalem, larger groups of people.
比如他在雅典的雅略巴谷或者在耶路撒冷呢，那都是有很多人聚集的地方。
But then he spent time one-to-one with many groups of people. One-to-one speaking to groups of people to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ.
但他也有很多的时候呢，是一对一的带人信主的，在这一对一的这个交谈和这个谈话当中把人带到主耶稣那里去的。
And then he spent time training younger workers to go into different places to serve the Lord.
然后他也会训练年轻人，把他们派到不同的地方去服侍主。
And these same things are what we do today. These are the kind of things, that New Testament churches that exist throughout the world today. These are the same principles that we use.
那今天遍布全球的这个新约教会也是使用这样的原则在做事情的。
But let's dig into a little further into the New Testament church in the book of Acts and to see in the early chapters how they met persecution.
好，那我们现在深入的来看一下，在《使徒行传》的前几章里面，早期的教会他们是怎么经历逼迫的。
Now the Lord Jesus in the very beginning in the Gospels, he said, in the world, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first.
主耶稣在他的福音书里面就说过，他说如果世界恨恶你是因为他们先恨了我。
The Lord Jesus said, if you are of the world would love you, but you are not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world.
主耶稣说，如果你们属这世界呢，这世界会爱你们，会爱属他的人，但是你们不属这世界，因为我已经拣选了你们了。
The Lord Jesus foretold to his disciples that as they would go forth and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would meet opposition and they would meet persecution.
主耶稣呢已经事先告诉他们了，当他们出去传讲耶稣的福音的时候呢，他们就一定会遇到抵挡，会遇到逼迫的。
The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 verses 10 through 12, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted.
主耶稣在登山宝训里面就是马太福音的五章的十节到十二节里面就说，他说为义受逼迫的人有福了。
So he tells us, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples and tells us that as we go forth, we will meet persecution.
所以主耶稣基督已经告诉门徒了，也就是告诉了我们，当我们走出去传福音的时候，就一定会碰到逼迫。
The persecution might come from the government.
逼迫呢可能会来自政府。
The persecution might come from other religious groups.
也可能来自其他的宗教团体。
The persecution might come from family members.
也可能逼迫呢是来自你的家庭成员。
The persecution might come from those who are formerly our friends.
也可能是来自你原来的朋友。
But the Lord Jesus says he will bless the work and bless the word of God as it is preached.
那主耶稣说他会祝福他的工作，也会祝福神的话的。
Now, as we look at the book of Acts, there's a question, that sometimes arises, and it's a very good question.
当我们去读使徒行传的时候呢，可能会脑子里会想到一些问题，这些都是很好的问题。
It's asked sometimes, is the New Testament and is the book of Acts a manual of how the church can prosper in times of persecution?
那问题就是使徒行传是不是给了我们一本手册，就是当这个教会被逼迫的时候，他们是如何更繁荣的。
When you look at the New Testament and you look at the book of Acts, it seems everywhere they turned, the church was under some kind of pressure, some kind of opposition as they went forward.
所以我们在使徒行传里面可以看到这样一个规律啊，不管这个教会往哪里发展，不管他们到什么地方，他们总是会碰到抵挡，碰到这个阻拦的。
And so we ask ourselves, is the New Testament actually a manual of how the church is to go forward and to serve and to preach and to establish New Testament churches.
所以我们就会问了这样的问题，这个新约是不是给了我们这样一个使用手册，就是教会应该怎么样的发展，怎么样的前进，是不是给了我们这样的一些操作的这个手册。
Isn't the book of Acts a record of how the church, prospered during persecution?
所以使徒行传是不是这样的一个记载啊，就是在逼迫当中教会反倒更繁荣了。
There was tremendous opposition in the book of Acts, but at the same time, there was tremendous blessing and there was a tremendous number of people that came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
所以这是一个事实啊，在使徒行传的这个记载当中的确是有很多的抵挡，但是呢也同时呢也有很多的祝福，有更多的人呢接受了耶稣做他们的救主。
What about the church in North America, or the church in Europe, or the church wherever in the world?
那北美的教会怎么样呢？欧洲的教会或者世界各地其他的教会呢？
If we are not facing persecution today, we may face it one day.
也许我们今天还没有碰到逼迫，但是可能有一天我们会碰到的。
The church, it seems, in the New Testament, was designed to function under times of persecution.
我们似乎看到这样的一个规律啊，这个教会呢是被设计了，它在面对逼迫的时候有它就是发展繁荣的一个机制。
So we want to look at this subject a little bit, tonight.
所以我们今天的重点来看这样的一个话题。
Chapter 8, the book of Acts.
看使徒行传的八章。
It says in verse 1,that, there was great persecution that broke out against the church in Jerusalem.
八章的一节他说从这日起耶路撒冷的教会大遭逼迫。
And the church was scattered throughout regions of Judea and Samaria, everywhere except the apostles.
除了使徒以外门徒都分散在犹太和撒玛利亚各处。
And then it says in verses, chapter 8, verses 2 and 3,Saul began to persecute the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women and put them into prison.
然后在接下去的八章三节里面写到扫罗却残害教会，进个人的家，拉着男女下在监里。
But look what it says in verse 4, therefore those who had been scattered, those who had been persecuted, they went forth preaching the word of God.
但是第四节接下去看第四节他说那些分散的人呢往各处去传道。
Now you remember very, very much in the beginning, in chapter 1, in the book of Acts, we read the church was going to begin in Jerusalem, it was going to spread to Judea, it was going to spread to Samaria, and then it was going to spread to the uttermost parts of the world.
我们还记得使徒行传的一章啊，前面最开始的时候主耶稣就讲到，他说教会要先从耶路撒冷开始，然后呢扩散到犹太全地，再到撒玛利亚，直到地极。
Now God was bringing this to pass through persecution. Verse 4 says they were scattered everywhere preaching the word of God.
所以神呢是使用逼迫作为工具啊，达到这个这刚才说的这个目的的，就是第四节所说的那些分散的人往各处去传道。
Now I want to look with you at five marks of the persecuted church, five marks of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in a hostile environment.
我们来看这张 PPT 写的就是被逼迫的教会的五个特征，就是在一个敌充满敌意的环境里面的这个被逼迫的教会，它有哪些特征？
We will see these marks all through the book of Acts.
我们在使徒行传全书里面到处都可以看到这五个特征。
Now these are marks that should be in every church.
那这五个特征呢，应该在每一个教会都有。
But it seems like these are marks that are specially evident in churches during times of difficulty and hostility to them.
但是呢，这些特征却特别的在那些被逼迫的，而且在现在这个敌意的环境里面的教会呢，表现的特别的突出。
So let's look at these five marks of the church under persecution.
我们来看这个五个特征啊。
Now take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to Acts chapter 4.
我们把圣经翻到使徒行传的四章。
In Acts chapter 4, the church begins to go forth and preach the gospel with great boldness.
在四章里面啊，就是教会呢就开始去传讲福音，而且是大胆的、放胆的传讲。
Look at verse 1 of chapter 4.
我们看四章一节。
Peter is preaching in chapter 3, and the priests and the captain of the guard come, and they come and take Peter and other apostles prisoner.Because they were proclaiming the word of God and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead.
我们看一节二节里面说，这三章里面讲到的是彼得呢在传道，然后这个祭司们和守殿官呢，并撒都该人他们就来了，把彼得和其他人呢就抓走了，因他们教训百姓，本着耶稣传说死人复活的道。
Now in verses chapter 4, 1 through 13, you see tremendous boldness in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
在四章的一到十三节里面，我们看到这个那时候教会的极大的这个胆量啊。
Peter and the other apostles are preaching the word of God.
那彼得呢和其他的使徒们，他们都在讲神的道，传讲神的道。
Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. They seize Peter and John, and they put them in jail till the next day.
我们看四章的三节，他们下手拿住他们就是彼得和约翰，然后把他们押到第二日。
Look at verse 4. And many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to 5,000 that believed.
然后第四节说，但听道之人有许多信的，男丁数目约到五千。
Now there are obviously women that believed and young people that believed, but he says 5,000 men that believed in Jerusalem.
当然肯定还有很多妇女也信主的，还有一些年轻的孩子信主的，但这里面只提到男丁就有五千了。
The more they preached the word of God with boldness, the greater the Lord blessed the word.
所以他们越是放胆的，就是他们的胆量越大呢，主呢就越祝福他的道。
And Peter and John are taking before the highest court in Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, and they question them and say, by what power, by what authority do you speak in this way?
那彼得和约翰呢被带到当时耶路撒冷最高的这个审判厅里啊，就是这个公会犹太公会的面前，他们就问他，你们用什么能力奉谁的名做这事呢？
Now remember, their lives were in danger. Remember, the Lord Jesus was crucified by the same council, the same Sanhedrin.
我们要知道那个时候他们的生命可是存在面临危险的，因为主耶稣就是被同样的这一群人，这群公会的人被钉了十字架的。
Verse 8, but Peter filled with the Holy Spirit in a bold way He said, rulers and elders of the people.
我们看第八节啊，那时彼得被圣灵充满，对他们说。
He says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, God has raised from the dead, this man stands before you completely healed. What great boldness on the part of Peter.
我们看第十节说，彼得说，站在你们面前的这人得痊愈，是因你们所钉十字架，叫人神叫他从死里复活的拿撒勒人耶稣基督的名。所以我们看彼得能说出这话来啊，说明他有多大的胆量。
Then he says to these rulers and priests and high ranking religious officials, he says this in verse 12, salvation is found in none else. There's no other name under heaven whereby men and women must be saved.
所以他彼得那时候在对着大祭司啊，对着官长啊，对那些掌权的人，他说十二节，除他以外别无拯救，因为在天下人间没有赐下别的名，我们可以靠着得救。
So what happens? These religious leaders say to these men, "Do not speak any more in this name." In verse 18.
那接下去发生什么呢？那这些官长们就命令他们以后不准，就像十八节说的，叫了他们来禁止他们。总不可奉耶稣的名讲论教训人。
Now notice what happens in the in chapter 4, chapter 4, verses about verse 20 through 29.
我们看在四章的二十节到二十九节发生了什么。
I'm sorry, verse 23 to verse 29.
是二十三节到二十九节。
So Peter and John were put in prison, but now they're released.
那彼得和约翰本来被抓到监狱里，现在他们被释放了。
In verse 23, they go back to the believers, the church gathered together.
他们就回到这个信徒当中啊，那个时候教会众人正在聚集。
And they begin to pray, and they begin to ask the Lord, and what is the one thing they ask the Lord for?
那时候他们在祷告，他们向主祈求，他们在向主祈求一件什么事呢？
In verse 29, they pray and they say, Lord, grant us boldness to preach your word.
29?
Let me see here. I'm sorry, yes, verse 29.
Okay.
Now, Lord, consider the threats of your servants to speak your word with great boldness.
然后29节我们看他们求的是什么，他说叫你仆人大放胆量讲你的道。
And it says in verse 31, they began to preach the word of God with boldness.
然后在31节他说祷告完了，教会聚会的地方震动啊，他们都被圣灵充满，放胆讲论神的道。
They were taken to prison and they were beaten, and yet they continue to preach the word of God with boldness.
他们虽然被抓了监狱，被打了，但是他们还是继续的放胆讲论神的道。
It's an amazing thing. The greater the persecution, the greater the boldness.
所以这是一个很奇妙的事情啊，逼迫越大呢，他们的胆量就越大。
The greater the opposition, the greater the boldness.
这抵挡越大呢，他们的胆量就越大。
You think that they would, as the persecution came and the opposition came, that they would leave and they would go away from the persecution. They would find some place of peace. But they don't.
你可能会觉得逼迫来的时候，反对的力量来的时候呢，他们会离开，去远离这个逼迫，找一个更平安的地方。没有，他们没有这样做。
So one of the marks of a church under persecution is to speak the word of God boldly.
所以第一个在逼迫当中教会的特征是什么呢？就是他们放胆讲论神的道。
Number two, their prayer was in greater intensity.
那第二个特征是什么呢？就是他们的祷告就更加的密集。
Here in chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, this is a passage about their prayer, the prayer life of the early church.
刚才说的使徒行传的四章的二十三到二十九节讲的就是他们祷告生活的 一个细节，也一个场景。
But turn with me to chapter 12 of the book of Acts.
我们看翻到使徒行传的十二章。
Chapter 12 of the book of Acts. Here we find Peter, in the very beginning of chapter 12. It says Herod arrested, some of the church, and he had put John the apostle to death by the sword.
在十二章的一开头啊，一节二节里面讲，那使希律王下手苦害教会中几个人，用刀杀了约翰的哥哥雅各。
And they arrested Peter and put him in prison.
然后他们也把彼得抓了，抓到监狱里去了。
But look at verse 5 in chapter 12.
我们看第五节啊，十二章第五节。
So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
我们看第五节，于是彼得被囚在监里，教会却为他切切的祷告神。
Now notice that word earnestly.
我们注意这个词啊，切切的。
It's a very, very strong word, earnest, fervently.
这是一个语气很强烈的词啊，就是热切的，切切的。
Peter is taken, or John is taken, and they put him to death. Peter is taken, and he's kept in prison. And yet they pray.
雅各呢，被抓了，就然后就被杀了。那现在彼得呢，又被抓了，他们就恒切的祷告。
One of the great, great tools we have, one of the great weapons that we have, is the weapon of prayer.
所以我们有的一个伟大的工具啊，或者说一个伟大的武器是什么呢？就是祷告这个武器。
The church of the New Testament had no political power.
在这个基督的教会，他们是没有政治的权利的。
It had no military power.
也没有军事上的权利。
It had no physical power.
他也没有肉体上的就是权利。
They had the power of the word of God and they had the power of prayer.
但是他们有神的能力，他们有祷告的力量。
And that's what they do. Whenever there was a problem, whatever there was a crisis, whenever there was persecution, they prayed and they prayed. They prayed with great intensity.
所以无论什么时候，他们只要遇到逼迫，遇到危机，遇到抵挡麻烦的时候呢，他们就祷告，而且是恒切的祷告。
So it says here in verse 5, that and the church was earnestly or fervently praying for Peter while he was in prison.
所以第五节就像这里说的，教会却为他切切的祷告神，当彼得在监狱里的时候。
It says also, not only fervently, but it says they prayed without ceasing.
他们不仅是切切的祷告，而且说他们是祷告不停止，就是一直祷告。
Now we find that Peter was taken during the 7 days of unleavened bread.
那彼得呢是在这个无酵节这个七天的节期里被抓进去的。
And during all those days of unleavened bread, it says that Herod was going to bring him out at the end and also put him to death.
这里面提到啊，就在这个除酵节的最后一天之前呢，就是前夜啊，希律本来是要把他提出来，也是准备把他杀了的。
But they pray.And they pray without ceasing all of these days, the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day, all until the day of Passover, until Herod was going to bring him forth and put him to death.
所以就是说过节的这几天呢，他们天天都在祷告，第三天、第四天、第五天、第六天都在祷告，直到祷告到希律要杀他的那一天。
And then we find that Peter is released.Miraculously, an angel of the Lord comes and opens the prison cell doors of Peter and is released and comes back later in this chapter, comes back to the New Testament church, the church that was gathered together praying for him.
所以他们的祷告的结果是什么呢？就最后彼得被释放了，而且是天使用奇迹的方式是把他救出来的，是监牢的门就这样打开，然后彼得就出来了。他就回到他的这个弟兄姐妹信徒那里去了。
I want to point something out before we leave this area, this second point. Look with me at verse 12 for a minute.
那我们在讲完这第二点之前呢，我先插一句，我们看第十二节。
Now, in verse 5, it says the church was earnestly praying to God for Peter.
第五节我们刚才提到，教会却为他切切的祷告，就是为彼得切切的祷告神。
Now, after a number of days, they continue to pray and continue to pray. And when Peter is released, notice what it says down in verse 12. When Peter is released and he comes to that church,
然后他们就这样祷告了好几天呢，然后直到彼得被释放，彼得释放了以后去哪里了呢？
It says, when he comes to that church where many people were gathered together praying.
他去到了当时的一个教会那里去，那个教会在干嘛呢？那时候在那里有好些人聚集祷告。
That prayer meeting never changed. The church gathered for prayer, and after 3 or 4 days, still there are many people gathered together praying.
也就是说啊，在那个地方举办的这个祷告会啊，就一直都没有中断过。他们已经祷告了几天了，而且还继续持续的在祷告，总有很多人聚集在那里祷告。
What a great sign of this church in the book of Acts. They were bold in their preaching. They were intense, fervent in their prayer.
所以你看啊，在使徒行传里面的那时候的早期教会啊，他们的特征多么的鲜明啊！一个就是他们放胆讲神的道，还有就是他们祷告多么的恒切，多么的密集。
They were also, point three, they were also aware of their weakness.
那第三个特征是什么呢？就他们明确的意识到自己的软弱。
They didn't have large buildings.
他们没有大的建筑，没有大的房子。
They didn't have many workers. They didn't have many preachers.
他们也没有很多的工人，很多的传道人。
They didn't have Bible camps and church buildings and Christian radio stations or Christian bookstores.
他们也没有这个基督徒的这个广播，也没有这个圣经营地，也没有这个圣经书店，福音书店。
They were so aware of their weakness.
他们完全知道自己的软弱。
They had no money and no buildings and no government support and no Bible schools.
他们没有钱。没有钱，没有教会的这个建筑，也没有政府的资助，也没有这个神学院，什么都没有。
And it seems to me that their weakness was their greatest strength.
但是很有趣，在我看来啊，他们的最大的软弱却是他成了他们最大的力量。
You say, David, what do you mean their weakness was their greatest strength?
那你可能会问 David, 你这是什么意思呢？你为什么说他们最大的软弱恰恰成了他们最大的刚强呢？
They had nothing else they could trust in.
They had
no strength of their own.
因为他们没有别的东西可以依靠了，因为他们自己没有力量。
And they were cast upon God himself to trust him, to trust him for all he could do, trust his power, trust his leading, trust his direction, trust that he would work on their behalf.
所以他们就把所有的一切的忧虑需要都抛给神，他们单单的相信神，相信他的带领，相信他的能力，相信他的力量。
In chapter 4 and verse 29, they cry out to the Lord, behold their threatenings, behold the opposition, behold the persecution that is taking place.
像四章的二十九节里面，他们跟主说，他说你看哪，他们在恐吓我们呢。
The apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he says, my strength is made perfect, made complete in weakness.
在哥林多后书的二章九节里面，使徒保罗说，
Look at the last part of that verse. I take pleasure in infirmity. I take pleasure in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress. When I am weak, then I am strong.
九节的后半段和十节是这么说的。他说我更喜欢夸自己的软弱，好叫基督的能力复辟我。我为基督的缘故，就以软弱、凌辱、极难、逼迫、困苦为可喜乐的。因我什么时候软弱，什么时候就刚强了。
So one of the great strengths of the book of Acts, of the church in the book of Acts, was their awareness of weakness.
所以在逼迫中的教会，也就是使徒行传当中的教会啊，他们的最大的力量呢，就来自于他们认识到自己的软弱。
Another great strength, another great aspect of the church in the book of Acts was their tremendous love and fellowship one for another.
那使徒行传中描写的这些教会啊，还有一个伟大的特征是什么呢？就是他们有极大的爱啊，和这个团契的相交。
There were times when these believers, the government authorities came in and took everything they had.
那有的时候呢，这个信徒他会面对一个情况，就是政府的人会到他家里把他的一切的东西都拿走。
The fathers and the leaders and the men, they cast them in prison.
然后他们会把这一家的父亲啊，或者教会的领袖，就把他们扔到监狱里。
And so what happened? So we find other believers providing for the financial and practical needs of the believers.
那其他的信徒会怎么做呢？他们会给这些有需要的信徒们以财务上的支持和其他这个实用的这个帮助。
It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, that believers voluntarily sold their possessions and their goods, and they shared them to all men who had need.
然后在使徒行传的2章的45节里说，他说信徒们都卖了产业，田产家业，照个人所需用的分给个人。
In chapter 4 and verse 34, it says those who lacked, there was no one who lacked. For many who had possessions of lands or houses sold them and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They voluntarily did this out of love and fellowship to help those believers who were in need.
然后在4章的34节里面说，内中也没有一个缺乏的，因为人人将田产房屋都卖了，把所卖的价银拿来，放在使徒脚前，照个人所需用的分给个人。他们是心甘情愿这样做的，是出于爱来做这些事情的。Later
in the book of Acts, in chapter 6, when there were widows, widows that were Greek and widows that were Hebrew women, they shared financially with these women.
然后我们在使徒行传的6章啊，看到这个他们也看顾寡妇的需要，不管是说希伯来语的寡妇，还是说希腊语的寡妇。
Well, this is a great illustration of the love and the fellowship brothers and sisters had one for another.
所以这个分享自己有的东西啊，是一个很好的表达爱和这个团契的爱的关系的一个特征啊。
If there's a need of clothing or a need of housing, other believers gave towards that need.
如果有衣服上的缺乏或者没有住的地方的话，那其他的信徒呢就会很快的提供这个缺口，补上这个缺口。There were
brothers and sisters who made great sacrifices of selling land or selling houses so that other brothers and sisters could have food and shelter and clothing.
那有些弟兄姐妹们呢，他们做出了极大的贡献，极大的牺牲啊，他们把自己的田产和家里的房产都卖了，然后才能够供应用这些钱来供应其他的信徒们的吃的、穿的和住的需要。The
bond of love that the early church had, the church in persecution, the church in under opposition, the love was a great mark of these churches.
所以这些在逼迫当中的被抵挡的这些面对逼迫的这个反对的这个教会啊，他们表现出来这个爱的这个纽带啊，是一个当时他们一个显著的特征。There's
another mark, and that was a greater sensitivity to the will of God in the individual lives and in the church.
那第5个特征是什么呢？就是 不管是他们个人呢，还是在教会的整体，他们对神的旨意啊，都更加的敏感。
I want to look at this with you for a moment. The sensitivity to the will of God.
我们仔细的看看，什么叫对神的旨意敏感。
sometimes in the times of prosperity, times when we have everything that we need, when churches are a little larger, there's a lack of sensitivity to the will of God.
那有时候在繁荣顺利的时候啊，在这个教会一切都需要都满足的时候啊，教会变得越来越大的时候呢，我们会渐渐的缺乏了对神的这个旨意的这个敏锐的查验。
Now we just spoke about the widows and their physical and practical needs and how the church met that need.
我们刚才讲到在使徒行传第六章里面提到就是有些说希腊语的这个寡妇啊他们的需要然后使徒们是马上就发现了然后来解决它。
This is a mark of the sensitivity to the will of God. As there's a need, men and women and leaders and elders, they get on their knees before God and say, how do we meet this need? What do we do for these widows? How can we help them?
所以这就是一个他们对神的旨意敏感的一个特征啊。就他们发现了这些寡妇们的日用的饮食有缺乏的时候呢，他们就赶紧跪下来祷告，就问主说，我们怎么能够去满足他们的这个需要，我们该怎么做呢？
At the very beginning, the apostles, they were serving tables. And they began to say to themselves, we need to spend more time in prayer and more time in the ministry of the word. And others were raised up to meet those needs. God was speaking to them. There's a need to preach the word. There's a need to prayer. And so there was a sensitivity to the will of God and how to solve the problem that was in their midst.
那一开始呢都是使徒们在去处理这个饭食的这个事情。那后来呢他们祷告以后神就对他们说话了说他们还是要以祷告传道为主要的工作。所以他们就选了其他的人就兴起其他的人来处理这个事情。所以在整个这个应对过程中啊这个处理过程中他们都是因为对神的旨意敏感才这样做下去的。
Look at chapter 8 for a moment. You don't have to turn to it. But in chapter 8, Philip the evangelist,goes to a city of Samaria and preaches the word of God, and many get saved.
我们看那个使徒行传的八章啊，大家不用翻到那儿，然后听David 说就行了。就是在八章里提到腓力啊，他到这个撒玛利亚去传道，很多人都信得主。
So many get saved that it says in verse 4 of chapter 8 of Acts, there was great joy in the city.
然后在八章的八节里面说因为很多人都信了主所以在那城里就大有欢喜。
So Philip was fully occupied with this great ministry of many coming to faith. The needs were many. Many were being saved. And so Philip was fully occupied with the work that was taking place in the city of Samaria.
所以从中我们可以看出啊，在撒玛利亚这个城里，这个服事啊，已经让腓力很忙了，就他手上已经到处都是活了，因为有很多的需要，有这么多人在听到，有这么多人信主，所以他已经完全时间都被占满。
But notice his sensitivity to what God wants him to do.
但是我们注意看啊，他对神想让他做的这个事情的旨意是多么的敏感。
Now remember, he had a great ministry already, but God spoke to him and said, leave that and go down the road that leads to Gaza, and I want you to speak to one person.
那尽管在撒玛利亚已经有很伟大的事工在热火朝天的开展着，但是神却对腓力说，他说你要到你要起来向南走，往那从耶路撒冷下加萨的路上去。
It's so beautiful when you look at the life of Philip. When he hears this message to him, he gets up and goes. He doesn't wait a week. He doesn't wait a month. When he hears what God says to him, he begins to act upon that and he goes to meet that Ethiopian eunuch.
所以当我们读到腓力的回应的时候啊，真的是读到这样的经文的时候是真的是非常美啊。那腓力一听到神对他说的这个话呢，他没有等待，没有说等一个星期等一个月，他立即起身就去了，去那里去见那个从埃塞俄比亚来的太监了。
You see, in chapter 11, Barnabas begins to preach to the Jews that were in Antioch.
然后在11章里面讲到巴拿巴就开始在向这个安提阿的外邦人讲福音了。
But he is in this great metropolitan city of Antioch, one of the largest cities of the ancient world, and he sees there's many Gentiles that are in that city.
不是，他刚开始呢是向在安提阿的犹太人讲福音，但是安提阿呢是一个非常大的城市，是人口非常混杂的城市，那里有很多的希腊人，然后他就开始向希腊人传讲主耶稣了。
So there's a sensitivity. He says, I must reach those Gentiles.With the saving, transforming gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
所以你看巴拿巴对这个神的旨意也很敏感，他说我必须要现在转向犹太人，不，转向外邦人，转向希腊人了，把福音也讲给他们听。
We see over and over again in the book of Acts this great sensitivity, to the will of God and the word of God and the direction of the Holy Spirit leading, this New Testament church.Individuals and whole churches.
所以我们在使徒行传到处都可以看到这样对这个神的旨意啊，神的圣灵的带领啊，引导很敏感的这个例子。
In chapter 13, we see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to the church, and he says to the church, "Separate unto me a Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them."
比如说使徒行传的13章的一开始圣灵就对安提阿的教会的人说要为我分派巴拿巴和扫罗去做我招他们所做的工。
I want to say a little lesson that I've been learning lately about this verse.
我给大家讲一下我在这句经文里面最近学到的一点。
In this verse, in chapter 13, verse 3, the Holy Spirit speaks to the church and says to the church,Send out these two men, separate unto me, or send out these two men into the work that I have called them.
那我们看13章的这个二节，使徒行传13章二节，他说，圣灵说，要为我分派巴拿巴和扫罗去做我招他们所做的工。
Now what is striking to me, he's not speaking to the two men, the two workers, the two that would be sent out. He's speaking to the church.
那给我印象深刻的从这句经文里面得到的是呢，这圣灵不是对这两个要出去做工的人说话的，他是对教会说这个话的。
And he says to the church, send out these men.
他是对教会说你们要把这两个人派出去。
I wonder in my local church, and I wonder if local churches should have a more active role in sending out workers,into the field.
所以我就在想啊，我自己所在的教会，包括所有其他的教会，我们是不是应该在差派工人去到这个传福音的合场去，在这个事情上应该更加的发挥更加积极的作用呢？
We often think of missionary work to be almost solely on the shoulders of the one who gets sent out.
我们有时候是会觉得啊，这个传福音的这个负担呢，是放在这个要被派出去的人这个人自己身上的。
Yes, they feel the call of God. Yes, they feel God leading them to go to the field. But isn't there a role for the local church?
那当然是神呼召他们的，是神把这个意愿放在他们心里，让他们愿意去做这个工作的，但是。地方教会是不是也有其中也要发挥它的作用呢？
Should the elders and the leaders of a local church have a little greater role in encouraging promising young men, promising young women, to encourage them to consider full-time missionary work?
教会的长老也好，领袖也好，他们是不是应该更加主动的、积极的去鼓励年轻人去推动他们去成为全职的工人去服侍主呢？
Well, I think we do. I think the local church has a little greater role, in the sending out process.
我觉得我们是的，我们在这个差派工人的上面，地方教会其实是应该发挥更重要的作用的。
Greater sensitivity to the will of God.
所以 我们这里这一节讲的就是要对神的旨意啊有更好的
these,
更强的敏感。
We have five great characteristics of the church in the book of Acts. Boldness, prayer, sensitivity to the will of God, love and fellowship, awareness of weakness.
所以我们讲了这个逼迫中的教会的五个特征啊，一个是他们放胆传讲神的道，有这个胆量；还有一个是他们祷告恒切啊，不停歇；还有他们有爱和这个团契的连结；还有他们意识到自己的软弱；还有就是他们对神的旨意更加敏感。
I want to look with you and think it with you now about what's happening in the world, the great persecution.That is taking place in the world today, and along with that great persecution, we find tremendous blessing and tremendous amount of men and women and young people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite persecution.
接下去我们来看看啊，当今在世界上的这个对教会的逼迫，以及一个奇妙的事实，就是在这个被逼迫的过程中啊，却有教会却承受了极大的祝福，然后有很多很多的男人、女人、年轻人，他们信主得救了。
22 million Christians have been martyred, have been put to death because of their faith since 1915.
那第一个呢？第一个事实就是15年以来啊，一共有2200万的基督徒是殉道了。
Every day, 200 million Christians somewhere in the world face opposition and persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
那每一天呢，大约有两亿的基督徒啊，在当今的这个世界，在不同的地方，他们是因着信主耶稣基督，因为他们这个信仰，面对逼迫或者是反对。
North Korea, Somalia, Iraq, Syria, Sudan,Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, China, Nigeria are leading nations in the world of persecution of Christians.
那主要逼迫基督徒的国家有哪些呢？就是北朝鲜、索马里、伊拉克、叙利亚、苏丹、伊朗、阿富汗、巴基斯坦、中国、尼日利亚。这些主要的国家
60% of those martyred and those killed sometimes through starvation sometimes through violence are those who are under 15 years old
那 60% 啊这被逼迫而死的都是15岁以下的孩子有些是因为是饥饿饿死的有些是暴力而死的受暴力而死的
100,000 Christians are in prison today in North Korea, the number one, sponsor of persecution in the world.
那在今天啊，在北朝鲜在监狱里的基督徒呢，就有10万，这可是现今世界里面排名第一的逼迫基督徒的国家了。
In 1956, there were 5 missionaries.That were serving the Lord in Ecuador, trying to reach, the native people called the Aucas. They were all killed. Jim Elliot, Peter Fleming, Ed McCulley, Nate Saint.
那在1956年有这就是黑体字讲的这个五个名字的这个传道士啊他们是去到了这叫什么地方What's the name of the country?
Ecuador.
厄瓜多尔去到厄瓜多尔给一个土著的这个部落去传福音他们就在那里被杀了。
Now the amazing thing about these five men were killed for their missionary work, yet, they inspired hundreds of missionaries to go forth throughout the world to preach the gospel.
那奇妙的事情呢就是当时的新闻媒体呢就报道了这个五个年轻的传教士殉道的这个事情以后呢反倒激发更多的传教士呢走到世界各地去传福音。
Now, this one man named Jim Elliot, he was put to death as a young man in 1956.
那其中一个年轻人呢, 就是第一个这个名字, 这个Jim Elliot, 就是1956年殉道的, 五个人当中的一个年轻人。
Many, because of his death, and these five men, they committed themselves to go to the mission field to serve the Lord.
很多人呢, 就是因为他以及, 其他的, 四个, 就是一共这五个传教士的牺牲啊, 反倒把自己奉献给神, 去全世界传福音了。
Now, Jim Elliot had a brother named Bert Elliot.
那Jim Elliot他有一个, 兄弟啊, 叫Bert Elliot。
And after Jim Elliot died, Bert committed himself to go to the mission field, not to Ecuador, but to Peru.
那Jim死了以后呢, 他的弟弟呢, Bert呢, 就也去传福音, 他没有去厄瓜多尔, 他去秘鲁了。He
went to one of the most difficult areas of the world. He went to the mountains, the mountain villages of the Andes Mountains in Peru.
那他去到了当时全世界非常艰难的地区之一啊, 就是这个秘鲁的山区里面, 就山区里的一些小村庄里面去传福音。
Amazingly, he started in his lifetime 150 churches, assemblies, in the mountains, in the villages, in the very difficult terrain of the Peru mountains.
那很奇妙的是他在这个条件非常的艰苦的这个秘鲁的山区里面, 在那些小村子里面, 他一共建立了150个小教会。
That probably would never would have happened if Jim Elliot and these other men had not been martyred for their faith.
那如果没有Jim Elliot和其他的这四个传教士, 他们的这个, 殉道啊, 可能这一切都不会发生。
This map shows some of the areas of the world where the persecution is the worst.
那这张地图呢, 告诉我们的这些名字呢, 就是在这个, 世界上逼迫基督徒最严重的一些国家。
North Korea, Iraq, Enteria, Afghanistan.
北朝鲜, 伊拉克, 第三个是什么名字我不太知道, 然后第四个是阿富汗。
China, India, some of these countries are some of the worst persecutors and oppressors of Christianity in the world.
还有中国, 印度, 他们都是, 逼迫基督徒很厉害的地方。
Many countries that suffer much persecution are those in the northern part of Africa and the Middle East.
那还有一些就是逼迫基督徒很厉害的, 国家呢, 是在集中在北非和中东。
North Korea is one of the most difficult countries and the one that persecutes Christians the most.
那其中的北朝鲜呢, 就是, 最困难的, 传福音最困难的一个国家, 也是对基督徒逼迫最严重的一个国家。
About 100,000 Christians are in prison in North Korea.
成千上万的基督徒呢, 都被关在监狱里。
In Iraq, persecution is also very, very great, but there are hundreds and hundreds of Christians that gather together in the country of Iraq.
那伊拉克的这个逼迫呢, 是也越来越厉害了, 但是呢, 成千上万的基督徒们, 他们都依然就聚集在一起, 更多的聚集在一起。
Afghanistan.
阿富汗。
Persecution is also very, very great in Afghanistan.
阿富汗的这个逼迫也是很严重的，非常严重。
It's a death penalty in Afghanistan to become a Christian or to even have a Bible app on your cell phone.
在阿富汗，如果你是个基督徒的话， 就面临死刑，甚至你的手机里有一个, 圣经的这个APP的话， 也会面临死刑。
I want to mention something too about Afghanistan.
那关于阿富汗呢，我还要提一点。
Many have fled Afghanistan because of persecution, and 10,000 Afghan refugees have come to just the area that I live in. Just 10 miles from my house, we have around 10,000 Afghan refugees.
那有很多阿富汗人民呢，就因为逼迫啊，就是逃离了他们国家，成了难民。就在我家住的这个地方啊，离我家大概十英里的地方，就有一万的这个阿富汗难民聚集区。
And God has worked in such a way that many, many of these Afghan refugees in Florida, in the United States, are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
那神在他们当中做了奇妙的工作，很多来到这个佛罗里达，在我们这个地区的这个阿富汗的难民当中，有很多人都信主了。
In Sudan, in 2018, security forces tortured and arrested 13 Christians because they were recent converts from Islam.
那在苏丹啊，在2018年啊，就是在这个安全机构或者是这个秘密警察吧，他们折磨了13个基督徒啊，他们就是刚刚从伊斯兰教转信耶稣的这样13个新基督徒。
In Syria, there's also great persecution to those who are Christians in that country.
那叙利亚呢，也是基督徒也遭到了很大的逼迫。
In Pakistan and Sri Lanka, again, great persecution to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
那巴基斯坦呢，和这个斯里兰卡也是一样，对信主的人呢都有很大的逼迫。
In Pakistan and Sri Lanka, have been in recent years, 226 Christians have been killed. In Pakistan, it is said that the worst persecution takes place for those simply for coming, for some coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
那最近几年呢，就在巴基斯坦呢，有226个基督徒啊，因为他们的信仰被杀，这是有人说是近几年来最严重的这个逼迫基督徒的行为。
Now, Iran is an amazing country. In Iran, they have many Shiite Muslims.
那伊朗啊，伊朗是个很奇妙的国家，他们有很多逊尼派的这个穆斯林。
Now, what is amazing about Iran, the persecution in Iran is very, very great. But thousands and thousands of Iranians are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ amazingly.
那奇妙的是，虽然在伊朗的这个逼迫很厉害，但是却有成千成千的这个伊朗人呢，他们信主耶稣，成了基督徒。
This is much like the book of Acts. The greater the persecution, the greater the blessing, and the greater the number that come to faith in the Lord Jesus.
那有点像这个《使徒行传》里面发生的事情了，就是逼迫越大呢，神的祝福就越大，就有更多的人呢信主得救。
In a ministry called Open Doors International, they said that in 1975 there were only 200 believers in Iran. Today, or in 2015, there were 370,000 believers in Iran, despite great persecution against them.
那有一个传教组织呢，它叫Open Doors International， 他们是这样记录的，他说1975年的时候呢，在伊朗只有200个信徒，但是到2015年的时候呢，有了37万的信徒，就虽然在伊朗的这个逼迫越来越严重，但是信主的人也越来越多。
You would ask yourself, how is it possible where there is extreme persecution and yet thousands upon thousands come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
那你可能会说，怎么会是，这是怎么发生的呢？为什么逼迫这种极端的逼迫这么严重，还会有成千成千的人信靠主耶稣了呢？
Now, in 2015,It is estimated there were 370,000 believers, but today news reports say that the number of Christians is approaching 1 million.
哦，那我们刚才说了2015年的统计呢，是有37万，大约有37万的这个信徒在伊朗。那现在最新的这个统计数据呢，是认为呢，已经信徒已经接近了100万。
And Iranian Christians in North America and in Europe, many of them are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
在欧洲，在北美也有很多的伊朗人呢，他们也信主了。
Now, I want to close my time off by showing two pictures here. Very, very interesting. The greater the amount of persecution, the greater people in that country request for Bibles.
有一个很奇妙的事情现象就是啊，越是这个逼迫厉害的国家，这个人们想要这个圣经，对圣经的需求啊，对圣经的渴望就越大。
What is interesting in Syria, one of the great countries that persecute Christians, the request for scriptures was 163,000 Bibles.
比如说在叙利亚吧，就第一个图啊，这个是一个严重逼迫基督徒的国家，但是在2012年呢，一共对这个圣经的需要有163,000这么多，3,105本。
An increase of 758%.
它增长的是700%多。
Same thing in Iraq. Iraq has requested more and more Bibles.
伊朗也是一样，伊朗也是越来越就是对圣经的渴求需要量越来越大。
In India, there's an increase of requests for Bibles by 27 million.
那印度第三个第一排第三个图，它的这个需求量就更大了，这个是2722万的圣经啊，当然跟它的人口多有关系。
In Egypt,There's been a request for over 2 million Bibles.
埃及2012年的圣经的分发量啊是284,504本。
In Nigeria, the same thing. Where there's greater persecution, it's amazing that there's a greater hunger and a greater desire to have scriptures and to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
在尼日利亚也是一样的，就是哪里逼迫越多呢，对主的话的，对圣经的这个饥渴啊，和这个渴望就越大。
The greater the persecution, the greater it seems a hunger for the scriptures, a hunger to know God, a hunger to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in the book of Acts, and we see it lived out in our world today.
所以这的确是个事实，逼迫越大的地方呢，人们就对越渴望圣经，越可想这个神的话，在使徒行传当中是这样的，那今天的这个世界里呢也是这样的。
Now, I want to look lastly at this chart. And, this is a chart of the growth of those who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
那这最后我们来看这张图，这张图就是信主的人数的增长率这样的一个图。
Now, the red, there's a couple of red spots in the world. One is in Japan. You can see it in the far right. There's also two other red spots, which means decreasing. The number of evangelical Bible-believing Christians is decreasing.And that's in Scandinavia, in Sweden, and in Finland. Norway and Sweden. We see the numbers of evangelical Christians going down.
我们看啊，就是红色的这个部分呢，一共有三个地方，一个是日本，一个是挪威，一个是芬兰。这三个地方呢，是信主的人数减少的地方。
Now, in the yellow,or the tan color, its evangelical growth is slower than population growth.
然后这个黄褐色的这个国家呢，是它的这个信主人口的增长率啊，低于 人口的增长率。
Now, sadly, the place where there's the fewest persecution, the least persecution, the least opposition to the gospel, you can see it on this map, that's North America. In that area, we see slower evangelical growth than population, slower than population growth.
那非常令人伤心的一个事实呢，就是在全世界啊，逼迫最少，也就是说对基督徒的这个难处最少的这个地方啊，就是在北美了。但是这个北美呢，现在信主的这个人口的增长率却低于总人口的增长率。
Even though there's great freedom in North America, even though there's great abundance of Bibles and churches, still evangelical growth is slower than population growth.
那虽然在北美啊有这个信仰耶稣的自由啊，有这个大量的教会、大量的圣经、充足的资源，但是呢信主的人的增长率依然是越来越低了。
You also see in Africa, in a number of countries in Africa, evangelical growth slower.
那在非洲我们看也有几块地方，就是这个黄褐色的地方，那他们的这个信主人口的增长率也低于总人口的增长率。
Also, Turkey is slower evangelical growth than population. You see it right there in the middle, of the map.
然后我们看这个往上一点，中间这个地方这一大块的黄的是土耳其，土耳其也是这种情况。
But notice everywhere else in the world where there's opposition and where there's difficulty, where there's hostility to the gospel, almost everywhere else in the world, South America, Mexico, India, Russia, China, parts of Africa, that's where there's faster growth than population growth.
但是其他大部分地区啊，就是蓝色的部分啊，他们的这个信主的人口的增长率都是高于这个总人口的增长率的。很多地方包括南美中国、印度还有好多非洲的国家都是这样的情况。
Big question is, what can we do in North America?
那一个很大的问题就是我们在北美应该怎么做呢？
And we are very encouraged in what God is doing throughout the world. God is still at work in saving men and women, sending missionaries out, just like in the book of Acts.
我们非常受鼓励啊，就是神在全世界所做的工啊，很多很多的人信主，然后神也不断的差派传教士啊到世界各地去广传福音，就像在使徒行传时期做的那样。
So what can we do?
那我们能做什么呢？
We can pray. We can pray for those in opposition.
我们可以为那些在逼迫中的人祷告。
We can develop awareness by reading magazines, going to websites.
我们可以增进对这些地区的这个情况的了解，通过杂志，通过这个网络的信息，增进这些世界各地逼迫情况的了解。
Well, let's close in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you, Father, for what you are doing in our world today. And Father, help those that are in persecution.
我们一起做个结束的祷告。亲爱的阿爸天父，我们感谢你，感谢您今天在全世界所做的工作。我们为那些在逼迫中的基督徒们祷告。
Protect them. Guide those who are leaders and teachers among these churches.
求您保护他们，也带领那些教会的领袖们、教师们。
And Father, some of these principles in the book of Acts, principles of awareness of weakness and boldness and prayer, may these principles be also evident in our lives.
我们盼望在使徒行传时期被逼迫的教会的那些五个特征，比如说他们的胆量，他们祷告的恒切，他们的爱的团契，这些特征呢也能够在今天被逼迫的教会当中也明显。
We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
我们这样的祷告是奉耶稣的名。Amen.
Amen.
Well, it was my pleasure to be with you again. I'm going to turn, the rest of the time over to Eric, and, he might just give some announcements and, that we might close off in a word of prayer.
嗯，好，那 David 弟兄呢就讲到这里，接下来的时间呢我们给到 Eric 长老。
Yes, thanks, David, and thank you for, those weeks of very good Bible teaching on the church. It's very much appreciated, and I'm sure everyone has benefited from this good doctrine. We want to thank,
David 的弟兄啊，在这么多星期里给我们分享的关于教会的真理，我们相信很多人都从中受益，我们非常的感谢他。
And we look forward to hearing from, David again, when he catches his breath, I guess.
我们也特别的盼望等到 David 弟兄缓一口气以后呢休息休息能够继续来给我们讲课。
Again, thank you, Yanling for your, very good, faithful work in translation.
Okay, it's my honor.
Thank you.Let's just, close our meeting then with a prayer.
我们再做一个结束的祷告。
Father, how we thank you for the scriptures that tell us of those that have gone before who suffered and now they're in glory, Lord, and they're reaping the rewards of those, of their suffering and persecution.
主我们感谢你您告诉我们那些走在我们前面的人经历过苦难的人他们现在都得着了荣耀。
We think of our Lord and Master, who suffered so much for us. Help us, Lord, to endure the suffering that we will encounter here on earth.
我们想到了我们的主啊我们的主人他也为我们承受了多大的苦难呢盼望我们也能够效法他去忍受我们可能将要面对的或者正在面对的苦难。
And again, Lord, we would remember those of our brothers and sisters in faraway places that are being suffering, persecution, rejection, loss of their occupations, and sometimes even loss of their lives.
主啊我们也纪念那些在远方的弟兄姐妹们他们在承受逼迫承受抵挡他们可能有些人失去了工作甚至有些人失去了生命。
And we're thankful, Lord, that you have promised that you will build your church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it.
我们感谢您的应许 您亲自建立你的教会你说地狱的门不能胜过它。
And that, Lord, you will lead us in triumph. And we look expectantly for your coming, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
主啊我们感谢您会带我们取得胜利我们盼望您的再来。奉耶稣的名祷告 Amen.
Amen.
Amen.Thank you again, Yanling. My pleasure being